speak from 1980 to 1992. Currently, he is editor-in-chief of Science Magazine. Counts himself as a longtime admirer of Pete, both before, during, and after his years as president of Stanford University, when he and Pete had frequent interactions.
I should begin by telling Pete's family that he is a hero to me. And I say that not just because he's been a great scientist or a great builder of institutions of multiple kinds in this university. I think I admire him most because he is the paradigm of linking deep scientific understanding and an ethical sense with wise public policy making. SLAC is not the only Stanford monument with his stamp on it. So is CSAC. And not only has Pete entered the lists of making science matter in this way, he found a terrific colleague in Sid Drell, a two-man team that has profoundly influenced our nation's position on one important issue after another, not least the challenge presented by nuclear proliferation. Pete's energy is so remarkable that I cannot help thinking of his passing as leaving a cosmic mark of absence. Someone sent me at Science a long argument warning of the risk that when they crank up the Large Hadron Collider over there, perhaps it might produce a large black hole that could swallow us all up. We decided against publishing that concern. But today, it makes me think of something a little different, that Pete's passage might produce a little energy gap. A tiny hole, not a destructive one, surely, but one in which we could peer into it, admire it, and remember how much all that energy meant to us and to our institution. The way Pete allocated that energy here at SLAC was remarkable, especially in that he repeatedly found ways of outwitting the predicted end of SLAC's usefulness. Usually science grows in fits and starts. Livingston and Blewett showed that each new technical advance produces a spurt, kind of dramatic gain, in the case of SLAC, of course, in brightness and energy, which then peters out. But then if things go especially well, a new technology is introduced, or a new instrument is built, and generates another spurt. If the log of energy is plotted against time in those spurts, so that they sort of line up, the steep portions form a straight line. Well, just about when the prognosticators had slack in its tapering off period, along came Speer. After a while of that, we got PEP. I commented when we dedicated PEP that Pete had not only found a way to confirm the Blewett curve, but to cheat mortality. I speculated that perhaps he would soon become impatient with merely planar structures and would be seen at Great America looking at the designs of roller coasters and similar devices for making three-dimensional rings, which would surely come next. Well, Pete figured out how to make slack cheat mortality. As for himself, perhaps you could say he didn't succeed in the same way. But after all, it's ideas and achievements that really matter. Thankfully, those, along with the warmth of our memories and the legacy of his good works, are with us, and they will outlast our sadness.